For those that may be visiting, whether you're online, whether you're here in person, my name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member here at Deer Run, and I've been leading the congregation through a sermon series through the book of Joshua. And Philip has joined me in that series, and we'll be back again next week to add to it. But it's been a great series as we've considered what it looks like in this time for courage. And when I think about a time for courage, I originally have been planning all week to bring a message I've entitled, or did entitle, A Place for Everyone. And we're looking at Joshua chapters 20 and 21, and two very unique settings. We've talked the last couple weeks about the people of Israel claiming God's promises. We've talked about how all of that would lead to victory. And as they defeated enemies, as they claimed God's promises, we finished out chapter 19 with everybody having the land that God had promised them. All of the tribes were settled into where they belonged. They all had an inheritance in God's kingdom. And then we moved to chapters 20 and 21, and we discover that there were still a few people that, well, they weren't quite sure where they fit in. And so I've actually began to think, and the opening song we did talked about, I woke up this morning, and I woke up this morning with just God's presence on my mind that I needed to make it more personal. When we think about a place for everyone, it's easy in our mind, if we are those who feel left out, if we are those that feel rejected, if we are those that feel we don't fit in, it's easy for us to hear that, a place for everyone, and in our minds add to it and say, a place for everyone else. And so this morning, as I got here a little bit early and sat with God through this, I've changed the title and added to it, actually, A Place for Everyone is A Place for Me. Now, that does two things. It changes the word for the outline from place to me. And some of you are counting and you're thinking, wow, that's good. But it also changes the focus on you belong. In God's kingdom, in God's church, in God's family, there is not only a place for everyone, big picture, but there is a place for you. There is a place for me. Now, as a disclaimer here, this isn't a free pass. This isn't a universalist type of teaching that says everybody gets in no matter what. Everybody can get in. There's no one excluded from God's perspective. It's the idea that we tend to exclude ourselves at times because, well, we choose not to pursue God. We choose not to follow Him. We choose not to live as His children. But we can. And that's the point of A Place for Everyone is A Place for Me. We recognize that no matter who I am, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, God loves me and desires for me to be a part of His family. And so I wanted to move from this generic, a place for everyone, and just for those that are wondering, the main points of that was a protection for everyone, a listening for everyone, an acceptance for everyone, a concern of everyone, and an encouragement of everyone. But we're not going to cover all of five of those things. We're going to look more specifically at what it looks like to live within God's family. And we're going to actually overlap two passages. I like to do this. If you've paid attention the last month or so, I like to take the passage out of Joshua and kind of overlay it with a passage out of the New Testament and see how we apply it today. Because there's so much within the book of Joshua that is specific to their surroundings. It's specific to what God called them to do. But what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? And so we're going to overlap Joshua 20 and 21 with a passage that MCA is using as kind of their theme passage for the year out of Ephesians 4, dealing with living and working and serving together in unity. Because when we live and work and serve together in unity, we discover not only is there a place for me, there is a place for everyone. And so what does it look like? If you're here today and you are one of those that feels like everyone belongs except for you, I want you to listen to what God says in His Word. You see, as God's children, as His church, we are called to live with the courage to proclaim that there exists a place for everyone within His kingdom. And I want to look at two specific elements that when we live with, we discover how we belong and we discover how others belong. The first in this kingdom, in this place for everyone that is a place for me, is it's a place for mercy. What an incredible message to the world today, to every person in this room, every person listening online, every person that ever hears these words, that this place that God has created for you, this place that God has called you to, is a place for mercy. Joshua chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and to state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one accused because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought." As I look at this passage, I see God realizing that there are times His children mess up. There are times that we do things that we regret, that we look back on, and we think, "Boy, I wish I had not done that." There are times, even when we do things with the good and proper intentions, we'll talk about that a little bit next week, it doesn't turn out the way we anticipated it would. And for those times, God says, "I want my place to be a place of mercy. I want my place to be a place where people can come and find safety, where they can rest fully within who I am." And for the people of Israel, He set up cities that chapter 20 will kind of list them out and where they're at. And they're spread throughout the tribes, they're spread throughout the land, so that they were accessible to everyone. That anyone, and they talk specifically about committing murder, about killing someone unintentionally, without thought or planning. And they could come and they could present their case. And sometimes that kind of gets lost in there, that there was kind of a trial of sorts. There was an explanation that the leaders of the city would listen to. They would determine whether this really was accidental or if they're just trying to get out of the consequences of something they did on purpose. But the leaders would listen. They would take into account everything that was being said. And they would be able to find mercy. They would be able to find that place of refuge. And as we come to God, there are times where we need to come to a place for me that is a place for mercy. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, reads this. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As I read that, I hear Paul urging those in the Ephesian church as well as us to consider who God is, to consider what he's called us to. He's called us to this life where there is a place for everyone, that it's a place of mercy, it's a place of understanding, it's a place of listening. How do you live together with unity if we're not willing to listen to one another? If we're not willing to take the time to make any attempt at all of understanding? You see, Paul writes and he says, I want you to live. He wrote to the Romans and says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so often he will describe our response as something that's, well, it seems like it ought to be the normal thing to do because of the mercy of God. And so when we come down to living and working and serving in unity, God calls us to make every effort to keep unity. And one of those ways that we make every effort is to recognize that not only is there a place for me, but every person we encounter, God has designed a place that he's called them to. It's the same place. It's his family. It's his body. And when we make every effort to keep the bonds of peace, the unity, it means that we show mercy to one another. That's how we are able to align ourselves in God's family. We never earn it. We never do enough to get there on our own. We come knowing that we need mercy and finding that we receive mercy. So this place for everyone is a place for mercy. We realize that sin exists. We realize that not only do others commit sin, but we commit sin. And the only way to overcome that between us and God is the same way to overcome that between us and one another. And that's learning to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be loving. The Bible tells us we ought to serve one another in love. He doesn't say to serve one another in love if they deserve it, to serve one another in love if they've been kind to you, to serve one another in love if you like them, to serve one another in love if you agree with them, to serve one another in love if they agree with you. He simply says to serve one another in love. And many times that requires mercy. But get this, it does not only require mercy being shown from you to them, but I hate to be the one to break the bubble to you, but you're not perfect either. It requires them to show mercy to you. It's a two-way street. It's calling every one of us to live together in harmony, in unity, not because we agree about everything, because we won't, but because we are all children who have been called by God to love one another. And so we find a place for everyone as a place for mercy. We also find a place for everyone as a place for encouragement or equipping. Kind of going back and forth on which of those two words to use, and they're so tightly connected that I'm going to use them both. And so you can kind of use a me if you want to spell out the word with an extra E there. As Joshua chapter 20 was this outlining of a place of mercy, a place where people could find refuge, chapter 21 is an outlining of an additional distribution of cities to those whose job was to encourage and equip the people. It was the Levites, the priest. Those who God said would not get an inheritance of land because he was their inheritance. They were the ones responsible to be that go-between between God and the people. and between the people and God. Now, we live in a time where the veil that has separated us from God has been torn, that every one of us as God's children, as those who belong to Him, can approach Him with boldness, the Bible says. But this time, this place for everyone was a place for encouragement. Joshua chapter 21, the last two verses, verses 44 and 45. We're going to back up to verse 43. The Levites, the priests, all of those that had served God had been given cities. And they were given the cities, they were given the pasture land surrounding them so that they could raise their flocks and take care of their own needs, so that God could lead and direct through them. Verse 43 says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all of their enemies over to them. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Now, if you read that and you don't find any encouragement out of that, I ask you to keep reading it. God gave them rest. They had been obedient to Him. They had gone about the task that God required them to do. They weren't perfect at it. They weren't always timely in it. There were times that God had to correct them. There were times that God had to redirect them. We ought to be able to understand that. We ought to be able to identify with that. But in the end, as we continually come back to God, as we continually come back to His purposes and His calling for us in our life, we find that He gives us that rest. It's not that the enemies, in Israel's case, most of them had disappeared, they had defeated them, but you read the rest of the Old Testament and there were enemies that continued to come against them throughout the history of Israel. You read the newspaper, if anybody still does that, and you'll discover there are still enemies that come against the nation of Israel. It's not that the enemies disappeared, it's that God gave them rest, I believe, in their spirit, in their relationship with Him and who He was. He had scattered these Levites, these priests, those that would serve God, those that would teach on God's behalf, those who would share throughout the land so that everybody had access, just like the cities of refuge. And if you look through that list, the cities of refuge were actually some of those cities given to the Levites and the priests. Those people representing God would be involved in determining the mercy that was shown. And so the nation of Israel comes to a point where they allot cities and properties and land, a place of dwelling, to those who are their very own encouragers, who are their equippers. Jumping back over to Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 11. It says, "It was He," that is Christ, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Just as God had given the Israelites individuals that were designed to encourage and equip them, He gives every one of us this place to belong, this place that's for us, this place that's for encouragement. And just as He assigns and gifts different individuals with varying abilities and capabilities, it's not just for them and it's not just for a select group of people. Those with those leadership abilities listed in Ephesians 4, their purpose was to equip everyone. Their purpose was to share what they had learned from God. Their purpose was to encourage others to serve. We find this place for me when we find this place for encouragement and equipping. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 that we ought to encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And when we learn that we are the encouragers, my experience shows that we find that we ourselves are also encouraged. When you discover a place for everyone and you discover that place for encouragement and equipping, I believe the best place to start is to ask God, who should I encourage today? How do you want me to do that? What does it look like? And I believe that you will find that the more that you step out to encourage someone else, the more that you will be encouraged. You see, we like to see people responding to the good news of Jesus. We like to see people growing in Christ. We like to see people who are equipped, who are serving. But are we willing for this to be a place of encouragers, of equippers, of those who do the work, because they have been encouraged and they have been equipped? You see, God's calling in our life, His direction for every one of us. This time for courage says it's a time to discover a place for everyone. And everyone that you meet today, every month, everyone that you meet this week, wherever you meet them, whatever position of life they happen to be in, however close or far from God they happen to be, I want you to remember that there's a place for mercy and there's a place for encouragement in their life. That mercy and that encouragement is something that we find when we come to Jesus. It's in Him. It's in His presence. It's in living in that obedient life. Not a perfect life, don't hear me wrong, but an obedient life. That we discover that this place for everyone really is a place for me. If I could proclaim one thing and I knew everyone in the world would hear it, I would want them to know that in Christ there is a place for me. It's up to them, just as it's up to me. God doesn't come in and drag us off and say, "You're mine, I've captured you, you belong to me, you have to do what I say." That's not the way He works. I love the stories Jesus told of the king and the master preparing a banquet. And He sent out invitations, and you kind of get the idea that these invitations went out to all of the important people, all of His friends, all of those that He typically associated with. And they kept sending back excuses. I'm too busy. I can't come. This came up. This and that. And it went on. And finally the master says, "Just go out into the street. Invite everyone that you see. Tell them the banquet's ready. The food's prepared. Tell them to come." And they came. And even after they came, there was this time where it was discovered that some of them didn't come prepared. That the garments that had been provided had not been put on. They were there, but they didn't really want to be there. I think sometimes when we hear the message of Christ, we like parts of it. We like the idea of, yeah, it's a nice group of people. They're friendly. But are we willing to go beyond that? To be clothed with Christ as he calls us to be? You see, this morning as we come to a time of decision, I believe God calls every person to decide, what will I do with this place for everyone? Will I claim it as a place for me? In doing so, will I live with mercy? Obviously, it begins by receiving God's mercy. Saying, God, I'm a sinner. I've messed up big time. I've disobeyed your word. And I need to be cleansed from that. I need to be immersed into Christ to have my sins forgiven. I need your help to walk in a new life. And once we receive that mercy, God calls this place for me to be a place where we are merciful to one another. Maybe you're here this morning and you're discouraged. I think that's why God wanted me to change the message from a place focus to a me focus. Because there's someone, maybe more than one someone in here that needs to hear very clearly, this is a place for you. You can say with confidence, this is a place for me. And we want to encourage you. We want to equip you. We want you to know that God's love is greater than all of our sin. That God's love is greater than all of the enemy. That we can not only have a place to belong, but that place of belonging, that place for everyone, is a place for me. Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself. Your love has given us all that we need for righteousness, for goodness, for growing in you. Your love has provided us this place that we can belong. A place within your kingdom, a place within your church family, a place within the body of Christ. And it's not just a place for everybody in a generic sense, it's a place for me. And God, I pray that every person hearing these words would know, not only know that it's a place for them, but would receive it as a place for them. Father, today, as we live life, as we represent Jesus, as we lift up one another, as we show mercy and as we encourage, may we reap and claim the promise of Jesus that those who are merciful will receive mercy. God, today, may we come to Jesus with arms wide open, accepting him, not just as a good guy, not just as a great teacher, but as Lord, as Master, as Savior. And may we share this place that's for me with everyone we meet. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.